Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank and praise you again for your mercy that endures forever, your abiding grace, O God, and the great humility you showed toward us when you are the great God. It would be a proud God, but you show our ignorance to us by being humble, where we would try to exalt ourselves many times, and we're less than nothing. We're not only not out of debt, Lord, we're greatly in debt, and we're a part of that system, Father, that at the end time that you saw was wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, but by your grace and your humility, your love and your kindness, Lord, you came down and showed us that we could come out of that, to separate ourselves from unbelief in the things of this world into the things of true life, the true life of Almighty God, life of God encased in human vessels. And we realize that that's true. That's our portion this morning. Help us to believe it, Lord, and confess it as never before, to just stand with it and on it, not looking at ourselves, but looking at you, knowing that our strength cometh from you, and we can do all things through you who gives us inward strength. That you're greater by far than we are, Lord, and our rest is in you, because you are our commander, your help, our guide, our all in all. Be our fortress this morning, Lord God, we pray, be our fount of wisdom in all things. We want your help, Father. We admit we need it, and we're grateful for it. We appreciate it. We thank you for giving it to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the greatest battle ever fought, number 9. And just want to say that through 7 church ages, there has been an unrelenting battle by Satan to either completely take over the mind of humanity, including especially the Christians, or to at least thwart faith by filling the mind with doubt through reasoning and questioning. Now, if he can't take it over completely, where people are simply thinking all of his thoughts and doing all of his will, because there happens to be in man a conscience, there happens to be in man a spirit, which is a cattle of the Lord, lighting inward parts, then Satan, of course, does exactly what he did in the beginning, which is to bring in questioning and reasonings and doubts. Now, today, the battle a Christian has is greater than ever, than the 6 church ages previously, because except for a small bride church, all of the human race is in complete bondage to Satan through the rejection of the Word of God. Now, that is something which people may take offense at, and as they take offense at it, they actually destroy the understanding of the Word of God, that if it isn't happening now, it positively has to happen, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter. Because it says there that the coming of Satan in this hour, he's going to shine forth with power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Not a lie, but the lie. That's what the Greek says. That they all might be condemned, judged, and made forfeit to the laws that they broke, who believed not the truth. The question is, what is truth? Tell me. Now, what kind of a God is God, of love, mercy, and grace, if he doesn't manifest truth at the end time, because nobody knows the truth? Now, let's face it. Billy Graham, without a doubt, is the great authority of the Protestants. And he positively admitted that the Word has not been restored. I just let it sit there. Added to that, the necessary elements required for health are all but missing entirely from the soil. We can't get them to eat. Both body and brain are in a degenerated state. That's proven by children who are hyperkinetic and everything else, overactive. They can't learn. When they're put on a good diet, the kids settle right down. They simply don't like the doctors that are inclined toward nature. They prefer drugs. Then you get a drug to settle you down and a drug to pep you up. They gave me every type of drug known to settle me down when I was with that candidate. Poisoning the brain. At least 79 poisons going into the bloodstream. I didn't have a prayer. Everything made it worse. Thus there is a spiritual and physical and mental problem of the worst kind in this hour. The battle of faith via the mind is more desperate and final than it has been for the last 2,000 years, and actually 6,000. And since this is the mind age, subsequent to the eye or prophetic dispensation, that's denied, of course, by everybody but us, Satan will make his most compelling effort to overcome the saints of God by attacking their minds, even as he did Eve, to put doubt and fear in it. Or an unbelief in God, which she took for her faith. However, the prophet of God by the Spirit of God stood in the breach and delivered us away by the vindicated word to not only understand Satan's attack on us, but to make a counterattack and rout him in victory. That is possible. The prophet has given us the express promise of God that we can stop the input of the human faculties into our minds, spirits, and souls by filling up with the Word of God, which is, of course, is the living, vindicated Word of God. Nothing else will do it. And when we do, we can reverse the process of being constant receivers, that is, always getting these inputs and inputs and inputs. We can get a fresh and a new input of one source entire. We can reverse the process of being constant receivers to become the givers of a life that is full of faith and power, not only satisfying ourselves, but to others who need the blessings of God. Life ought to be and can be a source of the divine graces of God in a human vessel. Becoming a channel for God is not beyond us, but we must realize that the channel must constantly receive from God to give out that which God has given us, or which we know to be a God. In other words, you've got to constantly receive to be a source. All right, an illustration. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked for it because he knew that it was there. Amen. Now let us sink in. We're talking about today. We also know what is there, that we can be one of those who, or one of those, out of whose belly flows rivers of life, as it's quoted in John. Committee, all, he said specifically, at the great day of the feast, he lift up his voice, Pentecost, and said, that whosoever thirsted could come to him and drink, and out of his belly would flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which was not yet given, because Christ had not yet been killed and crucified and raised the dead. And you're looking at the same thing right today at the Gentiles, where we've come to the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, the true things of God, and we can be channels, the same as Abraham looked forward to what was there. And he became what was there. We also can, must, will, and are doing it. Whether you admit it, that's up to you. I admit it. There's always some place you can hang your faith if you want to hang it. All right. We can be those channels. As I said, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked for it because he knew that it was there. Why bother looking if it's not there? If nobody lost a $10 bill, don't start looking for it. You're just wishful thinking. You want something that isn't going to be yours. He looked for it because he knew that it was there. We also know that we can be one of those out of whose belly flows rivers of living waters. In other words, reversing the channels so that the word now comes forth out of all the channels instead of all the muck and junk coming into all the channels, forming a cesspool. There can now be a living spring pouring forth the contents, with the word as the filter or the check valve, so we don't have to go back to the vomit as the dog and the wallow as the sow. Because remember, this is the hour when all tables, all tables. I don't care where you've been eating, brother, sister. Let's face it, you don't believe the word of God. On this, you made all tables are full of vomit. I enjoyed some of the most delightful vomit. Thought it was great. I added some of my own. The people chomped it right down. What is vomit? Partly digested food that is regurgitated. The stomach couldn't handle it, or something refused it. Belly. What's the word belly? It's an empty place. these theologians and preachers, organizations, nominations, have fed themselves down here with corruption. They vomit out, because that's all they can feed the people. What out of your belly? What out of that place of creation down here called solar plexus mind? Call it anything. The heart is referred to the same thing, out of the heart. The mouth speaketh this, out of the heart comes adultery, murder, so out of the belly. There's many words you can use. It just shows that you and I are little creators. And what we feed, the spirit that creates, is what's going to come out. Reversing all the patterns of anger and malice and jealousies, envy, disgust, aloofness. Amen. You're feeling better already, aren't you? Amen. Feels good to sit here and just break down and know that we can come to a place of love of God and love of each other. Look, if somebody's going to have it, that sweet spirit of Christ came into church, some church somewhere. It was in Brother Branham's church. People didn't even know it. The third pole, an absolute manifestation right there. He said, look, I'm going to do it for you. No longer pulling up by your bootstraps. I'll stand here and do it, he said. Everybody got jittery. So when every man come along, he said, look, I'm going to give everybody in this church here $10,000. Question mark. You think he's got it? He takes the money and piles it and says, here's the $10. Did you really mean it? Now, come on and get it. Think a guilty? He give it. Like, come here. William Brown stood there.
Amen.
100% vindicated. He could raise the dead. Not one git was absent. He could take any disease off you any time he wanted, except he had to hear from God, because maybe God had put it on you.
Amen.
He had to know what God wanted. Here stood the man with the $10,000 bills. Here stood the man proven he not only had it, but all he needed was you to come forward and let him give it to you. Well, I can't take that. That's just too. And it was. But you know something? I stand here and I'm going to tell you, on Judgment Day, which is now, you are going to find out that those people were healed that night. You and I can fail and make a mockery of God. He allows it. Oh, yeah. Till a certain time. Then judgment comes. You'll see it's going to happen that great day. All the things that we saw in his ministry and stood for, White Throne's going on right now. See? So, some will be those channels. Why not some amongst us here? Reading. This great, terrible hour in which we live, when God manifests in the greatest time of his ministry too, ministering to the bride. She actually sitting down at the wedding supper and eating, isn't it? That's literally afterthought. That's the whipped cream on the ice cream once somebody has used all these muscles to turn the cream into ice cream. So this is what's going on now, churning. The hard parts going on now. The rough spot. Matthew 24 and also Daniel 12 said there'd be a time of trouble such as there never was like on the earth before. We're living in that time when culture, that living in that time of this great trouble spoken of. See? When culture and education and things have smothered over the Word of God and got into reasonings and so forth. Like, for instance, it says right in the book of Revelation, we've read it so many times, the third chapter. He said, because you're lukewarm and you say we're rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing and you don't know, you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Now, what had smothered over the truth? Well, the apparent opulence of natural things blinded their eyes to their poverty-stricken spiritual conditions. They were looking in the wrong way. Now, we talked about this last Wednesday. We read you some things on drugs and pornography in the Reader's Digest. And I won't add to it except to say that, you know, state and church are supposed to be separated. And I wish they were. But today you'll notice that the state is interfering more and more and more with religion. You don't have freedom of choice anymore. You don't have it in medicine. You don't have it in religion. Read it. Because it's so made now that you've got to kowtow to them in so many ways. They've interfered. Now, one of these days, the church is going to fight back. They've been doing little at a time. They're going to fight back to the extent that they're going to hold the state powerless. It'll be a state religion. I don't like to see that come, but it's going to come. Because everything has conspired to turn down the truth. See? Now, this hour in which we live is the harvest of every single age that's been upon the face of the earth, especially for 2,000 years. Remember, the first face of the gospel was the lion. The second was the beast. The third was the face of the man. And the fourth one is the eagle. And those are types and pictures of the spirit and what was going on at those particular times. Well, it was under the face of the man that Luther came out of Catholicism. And at that time, many people have a perverted idea of what the Catholic Church was at that time, because it was in very bad shape spiritually. But it was coming into a time of great study, education. And it was the Roman Catholic Church that told Luther to get his doctorate and to be a champion of the word, as I believe what they said. And he took them at their word, and he became a brilliant, brilliant student. And it was that hour when the beast was fading out, which was the church in its oppression and the governments in their oppression. The people were beginning to rise up. Now, the Roman Catholic Church was not, as we like to think, totally defunct of spirituality. There were men in there who constantly protested the Catholic Church. And they were great servants of God. And nobody can say a word against them because they were great servants of God. And at this particular time, we find education was beginning to come to a place which it hadn't come before. And I think perhaps one of the great troubles was with the Roman Catholic Church, they suppressed the Bible and put it only in the hands of a clergy who were to interpret to the people and said to people, you can't understand this, but so we'll interpret it for you. And I suppose that there were at that time, many men were protesting that. Well, they didn't have the Bible, so they had other liberal education, which was good for them. I'm just trying to show you now what was happening. So with Luther, coming out as a student of the Word of God, he translated the entire New Testament. And that's the same of the whole Bible, I believe. Yes. And that's the same Bible the Germans use today. A brilliant, brilliant student. Other men were brilliant students, not only of the Word, but there were astronomers and scientists coming forth. And though the Catholic Church protested them, they protested the Catholic Church. Now watch what you're seeing. You're seeing here, because of religion, mental attitudes will now escape any word which was there, and they'll turn more toward the mental processes of education and human endeavor away from the Word of God. So, as men became more educated, it wasn't too long down the road, under the face of the man, in the Wesleyan era, that the Protestants turned to higher criticism. Now, I ask you a question. What's the difference between the Roman Catholics refusing the people the Word of God and the Protestants messing up the Word of God? No difference at all. That's why I say organization. I don't care what brand it is. There's Catholics, many types of Catholics. There's the Roman Catholic. There's the Orthodox Catholic. There's several kinds. There's the Chaldean group. I don't know what they all come to. Just like the Protestants are out there. And today, we have come to the place where because of the intelligence of man, and he's the highest form of intelligence that there is, you now have the end time where the smartness of man is absolutely in diametric opposition to the wisdom of God. Now, look, that's this hour that Brother Branham spoke of. And it's everywhere. People say, well, I believe it's church, that church. It is every single church. And listen, it's in these pews this morning here, and don't kid yourself. You've got a battle sitting there to breathe a vindicated word, to put aside what you always have thought. Now look, I know that you're less complex than I am, some of you sitting here. But that doesn't mean just because you're simpler than I am, you're less complex, that you're going to get this faster than I can, because I've got a gift from God. And I've got a terrible job. I look at things and I say, well, I don't know that I can take what Brother Branham said. At least the way it sounds. You got to keep looking. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you get rid of those carnal check valves, the Word of God will never permeate your mind and your spirit and your soul and then reverse. And then in the reversal is when you get transfigured. And you will never get out of here. In a rapture. Unless you allow this to happen to you. And it can happen to us. If God's not bigger than man, we're in bad shape. And my God can't do it, he said, they're in bad shape, brother, sister. If Christ in us is not our hope of glory, you tell me what is. Now, there's a question. Christ in you, how do you know he's in you? So I think that's evident. You, listen, you have got to be sick. I'm sorry for him. I'm going to give you the scripture. I'm not mad at anybody. Look, I'm fighting for my life, and by the grace of God, I'm trying to fight for your life. You'll only listen. Paul the Apostle categorically said, in the 11th chapter, 2 Corinthians, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now listen to what he says about this chaste virgin. She's been messing around. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And you know 1 Corinthians already, they were corrupted. He says it. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, which we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. In other words, Paul is telling them here, you can absolutely, and they started right back there, having another Jesus, another Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and another gospel. Then what about 2,000 years later? My church, my foot. Amen. Grace, gospel, church, phooey. Branham Tabernacle, hogwash. You can sit as an adherent, a member, and a full-time hopeful believer, and be out 100 million miles. Brother Branham preached time after time in his tabernacle, and time after time he stopped and said, I caught your thought right there. Trinitarian sitting there, couldn't change him. Those with gifts of the Holy Spirit, they thought was Almighty God. It's just a gift from God. A gift of the Holy Ghost, brother, sister, is not the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you can be a Judas. I can be a Judas. Let's understand these things. We're not babies anymore. Something is happening this hour. And if it's not in this hour, then it's going to happen in another hour because the Bible said so. Don't stick your heads in the sand this morning and say it's not going to happen. There's things happening in your body right now you're not aware of. Little protozoa, little amoebas, little bacteria, little viruses. And it's going to kill you as sure as you're sitting here this morning. And you may feel like $1 million. I tell you, that's great, as I said this morning. How do you feel, Brother Bill? Don't ask.
I don't feel like I used to. That takes care of it. But thank God, I got a better side. I ain't feeling like I'm going to either. That's not too far off. So we just keep trying to plow for the Lord, hopefully, anyway. All right. We're in this hour of the face of the man, the cunning one, the reasoner, the student, the scientist. See? And he's got the church all, the Brother Brown said, the word all smothered over. So the whole world's in a mess. See? That's what we're looking at. Now, how is anybody ever going to get any truth? Well, I say, we all look back and say, hallelujah, Apostle Paul. Glory to God, Apostle Paul. He's the fellow that brought the message. He's the guy that says, Paul's gospel, according to my gospel. He didn't say Peter's gospel. He didn't say John's gospel. Didn't say George's gospel. Didn't say the first church at Jerusalem or Corinth or Ephesus or Rome or somewhere in Africa, because they're in Africa. He never said that. He said, my gospel. Amen. And I tell you one thing, we better get Paul back here. Or a regional facsimile. Well, I got a better idea than that. Where did Paul get it? He said, I certify you, I got this plumb from Jesus, the pillar of fire. Amen. Now let's get Jesus back here in a pillar of fire. That's what happened. And they said, that's the devil. I'm going to tell you this morning, brother, sister. Let me give you a little thought this morning. You might not like it. It's up to you. I don't know if I'm right or not. I watch the way certain preachers are acting. They come out of certain denominations that blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Listen carefully now. I wonder if some people who say they believe this message haven't already blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Say, Brother Vail, you made that sound awful final. So did God.
Amen.
John said, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that you shall pray for it. Why? There's no use. Right. Visiting the sins of the parents unto the third and fourth generation, then it's all over. How many generations have the Protestants had? Just about four. The Protestants are in greater danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost than Roman Catholics are. As far as I can see. I could be wrong, but I see. And I see everybody's in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Attributing to Satan the works of Almighty God. No churches, Brother Branham said, ever rose again and never will except in the resurrection and is going to be condemned. I'd say, if God were going to do anything, he would have to do what he's always done, and that is himself come and get him a man that he can deal with. And God's always done it that way by a prophet. That's the age we're in now, the age of the ego, the age of the mind. Now, the eagle is the eye that goes up high above all and sees. The eagle is God's bird. He's that great one that can look down. All things under his control. You know those, they get away up there and they spot a little old field mouse. Eagles. Brother Branham said the battle is on now. What is the now battle? Hebrews 13 and 8. Surely God wouldn't do for us what he did for Abraham. Surely he wouldn't do for us as he came to Paul. Well, surely he would. What makes you think they got a corner on something? They weren't the ones facing condemnation. No, sir. God had made a covenant with Abraham. He wasn't facing condemnation. Paul wasn't facing condemnation. But he said, I don't send Elijah. This bunch, everyone is facing condemnation. We're in a tougher spot than they were. You don't believe that, do you? It's the truth. Yes, I mean, we're at the edge of the precipice. You ever been to Niagara Falls? Who hasn't been to Niagara Falls? Anybody hasn't been? Well, go there. It's up just up the road. Go there. And then you see that old barge that's still stuck on an island up there. And I bet the men said, thank God the barge got stuck. They hadn't got off the barge quicker. But you just visualize anybody in that current trying to get back even 200 feet from the edge of the precipice, as that water's roaring down there. You haven't got a prayer, brother, sister. We are at the edge of the precipice, the acceleration of time, and the powerful thrust and the roar, which signifies not just a loud noise, but it signifies nations roaring is they're perplexed and they're terror-stricken because they haven't got answers. Look at the stock market did. There's no answer. And everybody knows both Republicans and Democrats at this point are perfect idiots. There's no hope in this nation. Everybody knows it. There's nobody standing up in the public right now. If Botka is right, and I believe he is right, all it takes is what? Tax the millionaires in America. A mere 2%. You can kiss your deficit goodbye. You know something? Anorexia and bulimia is a perfect picture of this hour. I don't care where you look. It's a mess. The whole thing stinks. The battle's now. They can't take Hebrews 13 and 8. Brother Brown said, who'll stand? Hallelujah, he says. He's standing. The battle's ready to go. She's in array. In other words, you can join the conflict or you can sit back and say, forget it. In other words, we're looking right down the barrel of the gun today. And we're saying, look, I can stand here. And I'm going to stand here. Now, you got a vindicated message. I won't get there this morning, but I'm going to show you something in this message that I'm going to stand on. And believe me, I'm going to stand on it. That's all I'm going to stand on. I don't care what happens. Maybe nothing will happen. I'm looking for something to happen. She's going to stand on his word. Now, he's going to illustrate here about David. Look what great opposition we've got yonder. Who'll be like David who said, David speaking, you stand and let that uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God? Not me. I'll go fight him. Amen. God wants men and women this morning who can rise up and say, I'll take the Lord at his word. And I take the Lord at his word, but you see, that's good there because he's everybody, I'll take the Lord's word. Everybody says that. You're not a Baptist, Methodist, or God knows what. That goes for every single religion across the board. I'll take his word, I'll take his word. You see? That is to say, I'll just take the word as being the word of God. But what about taking the word of God in a personal way? That's a different story. See? To make that yours. I'll take the Lord at his word. Not just his word, but I'll take the Lord at his word right now. Amen. No matter what fails, while what this one did or that one did, that's got nothing to do with it. You Sauls and so forth, if you're afraid of Goliath, you get back where you belong. But God's army's moving forward. Amen. Men of valor, men of faith, men of power, men of understanding. They don't have to be smart. They don't have to be educated. They have to be channels. In other words, learn to let go. How are you going to be a channel if you're all clogged up inside? How can you be a channel for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, if you've got somebody else's Word in there and your own spirit in the way? Got to get it out of the way. God takes the little channels. Eve stopped for a moment to reason, saying, well, now let's see. Now, God has told us, Brother Branham is just reiterating here the truth of the Word of God. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given a spirit of fear, but of love and courage, and but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, let's go to the Songs of Solomon here, just for a little tiny bit. And it's in the 6th chapter, I suppose, if I ever can find it. 6 and 10, it speaks of the bride. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as a army with banners? Now, you know what those banners mean. That means she's attacking. She means business. Satan, I'm coming against you. Now, some men thought they could go on the air and really make a big thing of the mess by attacking the Catholic Church. I wouldn't get on the air and attack any church. I'm not out to attack any church. I'm out to attack what's in the churches, period. And the only way you can do that is not by mouthing off and blowing a trumpet. You had better have something that is concrete and evidential, something that is powerful and strong that can get back up when you blow the trumpet. And we got a word of God that's vindicated. Nobody else has. Now, it says here the bride is looking forth as the morning, the eighth day. That's when God starts all over again. Another set of sevens. Whatever. Fair as the moon. That's reflected light. Clear as the sun. Now you look up and the sun's absolutely clear. Now clouds get in front of the sun. That's true. But the sun is absolutely clear. Can't even look at it, see? She's terrible. In other words, the church is a force to be reckoned with. Now this morning, how many of us really believe we're a force to be reckoned with? Now, if you can't believe you're a force to be reckoned with, Satan's already got you downtrodden. Now, I admit that I have one advantage. I stand strictly on what I know to be a little gift God gave me. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I threatened one time, one guy said, "You get in my way." I said, "But you're pulling some stunts out." I said, "I'll pull you and your whole house down." I said, "I can do it." And I said, "Well, I'm one guy that can do it." I never should have said that. I've suffered for it. My job is not to pull any house down, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Nobody's going to pull mine down.
Amen.
Now, that's the stand I take. Now, you got in your own position, whatever God's called you to, nobody takes anything from you. You stand what you got. Okay. Now, let's go to Joel, the second chapter. That's after Hosea over here. Just before Amos. That's a couple of books I remember. Those little tiny books in there, they're hard to remember. Now, the second chapter we're going to look at. Blow ye a trumpet in Zion. Verse 1. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. Now see, that's the bride is fair. She's got no clouds. A great people and a strong. There has not been ever like the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoured before them. Behind the flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Behind them is a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. As horsemen shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one in his way, and they shall not break their rank. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. Notice repetition. They shall climb upon the house, enter in the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and heaven shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. And for his camp is very great, for he is strong that execute his sword. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Whose army is that? It's the army of God. You got the voice of shouting the trumpet all in there. That leaping over the walls, literally coming to rapture. God does not look upon the bride as some little weak thing. Now, she's got to be weak in her own strength. She's got to be weak as far as her pride and those other things are concerned. But when it comes to Christ and his word, she is not weak. She is a powerhouse. She's a dynamo. I believe that's exactly why God allowed the atomic bomb to be burst at this age and the hydrogen bomb. Showing every time you unfold God, a revelation, it is greater and more powerful and more wonderful, taking you up higher and higher and higher. And as we've seen these revelations unfold in the Word of God, starting from the church ages right through the seals in the present hour, we see these things come out as we take these messages word by word. We come to a higher plane every single time where condemnation has to cease. Because where there's condemnation, you're under a law, and it's not the law of God. Then there's only two things can be remiss. Number one, either you've been fooled, or number two, you haven't got what God said you got. And I'm pointing the fingers at me, brother, sister. It all ends up making God a liar. I'm not saying be whirling dervishes, dynamos. I'm not saying run around and pray for the sick. Look, that's not your job if it's not your job. Not your job is not your job. We'll pray for some more sick as time goes on. Don't worry. It's incumbent upon us. We'll see. But we're going to see from this word first. Not making any false moves. See? And Eve said, well, let's just stop a moment of reason. Let's reason this. You don't reason anything. The Word of God is not up for reasonings. The Word of God is thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the Lord means the sovereign God is going to do what He said. Amen. And even if there's only three people He does it to, don't worry, it's going to be done. How many people got in the ark? You tell me. Eight. Four couples. How many missed it? Everybody else. How many drowned? Everybody else. How many go in the rapture? Handfuls. How many are going to miss it? Everybody else. Well, isn't there just a little? Yes, in between. There's 3.5 years of intense tribulation. Do you like it? Be my guest. I'm not telling you to go there. I want to go there myself. Brother Branham said, that is so terrible that there is nothing that he could ever talk about would let you know how tragic and terrible the suffering. Now listen, brother, sister. What is the single most devastating word in the world containing two letters? If. If. The saddest words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. That's where the world sits today. Now what I want to tell you about is this. How often in our hearts, and like you're saying, oh, if I'd only got out. If I'd only got out. If I'd only got out. Only got it. You didn't get it, honey. Now, don't let your heart be burdened, upset. Just take and keep walking on. Oh, how Abraham surely wished that he never bred Ishmael. Boy, what a lunkhead to bring that cheesehead here with my son Isaac. Too late, too late. Never get him back in the womb, brother, sister. Life keeps moving on. Keep reading if we ever get there. Now, I was talking to a little girl in the pew down there lying on a cot. What if this little lady this morning, no doubt that's the doctor told her she's just about the end of the road. There's nothing can be done for her. Well, no, that's that doctor. I don't condemn him. That man's a scientific man. He's got a reason, you see. He sees that disease has conquered the child's body. It's beyond anything. He hasn't got a medicine that'll stop it. So, had that cancer conquered that woman, he spoke of it previously, sure, death had conquered the baby. That's the little baby in Mexico dying. But our chief captain, hallelujah, of this great army, he's the resurrection and the life. Nothing can conquer him, hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham here is showing us what we must understand. One does not deny the existence of disease and death and trials and problems, but denies their power to supersede the power of faith in God. That's all we deny. We do not deny that there is sickness here. Look, I don't deny for 1 minute that I got problems in my body. I don't deny I got arthritis. I just keep wondering where in the world the rascals came from. One doctor said, it's got to be, a smart guy said, it's got to be protozoan amoeba. Okay, so I'm going to take a nice course of clotrimazole, knock the little rascals out and see if that's it. I don't deny it. I don't deny there's things that can counteract it. But I'm going to tell you something. I know if I line up with God, there's a power that'll knock that plum out of me. Amen. It supersedes any diagnosis and any prognosis that anybody can possibly say. I know that. And it's up to me. It's good. Because there's only so many orders that those men could come up with. Right? Only so many orders. But, with it, there's a timing. That's it. And a tact or maneuver. Now, that's very important in to see the Bible, that there's always a timing. When the pool was stirred by the angel, first one in got healed. Sure did. See? You couldn't have a prophet before this hour. You couldn't have the pillar of fire before this hour. You couldn't have this message before this hour. So now, what's the intelligence of this army that he's been talking about? Because he said, we're the army. Right? Well, he sure better be the army. I wouldn't want William Branham preaching to some bunch of people down in, you know, in the Methodist church or the Baptist church. I want to think I'm sitting there, he's talking to me. So, okay, Bill, get up and get in the army. I just done conscripted you. Amen. See? Okay. I listened to him. He said, what are you doing? You're a pastor. You ought to be on the road. I think, so I went on the road for all those years. And then he said, well, he said, you ought to have a place to settle down now. I asked him. He said, yeah. I said, just used to be like I am. Well, I couldn't be like him, but at least I could find a place to lodge. Okay. Now listen, you follow your captain. If he's a right kind of a general, if he's a four-star general, if he's been proven to be right, follow him. Now, how are you going to follow him? You're going to listen to him and do what he said because you know he's telling you the truth and it works. He's not going to lead you into battle to get your throat slit and your blood on the ground. He's leading you there safely through the mines, all the encumbrances, the droning of airplane, the shots overhead, and he's going to get you right through the enemy's line where the blood you'll draw will be the blood of Satan, so to speak. And go to the front, go right on to glory. Now, follow him. Now, of course, William Branham is not what we're talking about at this point. Though it may seem wrong to you, go on to the front. Do as he told you. Hallelujah. Now, there's a rigorous training that's even beyond the training of the Marines, which I understand is about the toughest Marine there is. I was Green Beret or some little elite outfit. And I understand that they far exceed the Army and any type of military men in their rigorous training of making them do everything against their own thinking. Plumb against your thinking they make you. Until when you hear that word, it's a bloop like that. That's all you need is what they say. And you simply don't care because you're conditioned. Because you've got to trust not your instincts, not yourself, but the general who is ahead of you, who is bound to his country and the safety of every single person in that regiment or platoon. So that you don't act except as one mind. That's the general. 700 denominations. Wonderful, wonderful. Lawrence Welk, you're back to give us swing music. We'll all dance to Lawrence Welk. Wonderful, wonderful. 700. We got Mormons in the band. Baptist Presbyterians. We got Jehovah's Witnesses. We got them all in there. When did they ever take direction from God? One time they did, I believe. I suppose some perhaps down the road. Brother Branham is not our captain. But the Bible mentions the captain coming down in Revelation 10 and 1. And at the same time he comes down, there's Revelation 10 and 7. That's an ordinary prophet standing there. Man. And he said, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day. At the time of immortality, Elijah's got to be on the scene. That's this hour. Because you say, why is it? Because Israel's back in the homeland. That's a clock right there. You do what you want. The church, the condition of churches and the women, they kicked over the traces. I feel terribly sorry for women. Brother Branham felt tragic about young women. He wanted nothing more than to talk to young girls and warn them what's coming on this earth and what you have to look out for. But he said, Lee, if I did it, they'd just think I was trying to molest them, do something to them. He talked on the tape one time about, he loved to talk to a very young, beautiful lady, but he said, the cops would have come. When you're a vindicated prophet, you haven't got a ghost of a chance helping a young lady. Don't look at me as I'm going to help anybody here, you, anybody else. Because it signifies the church is past redemption. You're not going to listen. Church has got spiritual aids. It has. So that's the way it is. Look at my brother, sister. Homosexuality preceded the fall, the actual burning up of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when they were stricken blind, as this church today is blind, they tried to find the door to take those two men out and defile them, the two angels. And I saw on TV what the homosexual want. And they said, we're going to do it. In spite of disease. And if we get it, You're going to cure us, and you're going to pay for it. It's exactly what they said. I'll bring the tape in and run it for you. Want to come some night? We'll set a screen up here. We got it. Church. Can't listen. We got, now listen, Brother Branham tells us the truth. We got a five-star general spelled Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Let's go to Isaiah 42. I'm taking this real slow. I felt I should relax this morning. I'm kind of preaching kind of tough. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. But look, brother, sister, I've been through this. I've been through this, and I'm going through it. 13 verse beginning. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. You think he didn't? They were so jealous of Brother Branham's ministry, pitiful. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. What's a woman going to do? Bring forth the baby. That's the son. Bring forth that son of God. I will destroy and devour at once. I'll make waste mountains and hills and drop all herbs. I'll make rivers islands. It's just like nothing but, you know, shallow, and there's nothing there, no water. See, it means like a coast, you see. A definition, but no one. I drop pools. And I'll bring the blind by way they knew not. I'll lead them in paths they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. And things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Okay. Five-star general, a man of war. We've got a five-star general spelled Jesus, placing five stars on us, F-A-I-T-H, faith. He never lost a battle. True. Hallelujah. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. Gets the devils out of the way. He's the great chief captain, so the devil isn't even in the picture. All right. Spirit-filled Christians receive the word of promise and refuse to countenance anything against the word and maintain that stand until Jesus leads them forth in victory. And that's the great battle we're looking at. Now, the one that's going to do this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire. Of course, manifesting through a prophet, which brings us back to the days of the Son of Man. Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, when he brings up the subject, the God of all flesh, he's putting the person on the spot and saying, look, you're flesh, and I'm your God. And I want to know this. Have you put yourself in a position where something is too hard for me to do? In other words, are you thinking those thoughts? Or are you letting yourself go? That I can do it for you. Now, there's a battle now going on over immortality. The great general came down in the shout. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He came down. And he's here right now. What most people don't know, but this church does know, at least you know it in your heads, and I know it in my head. Together we know in our heads, and we're convinced that it's going on. We know that. We don't know just how. We don't see too much manifestation. But we know the church is being set in order. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are at his parousia. What will be the sign of thy presence? Oh, he said a lot of false prophets doing a lot of big things. You know something, brother, sister? That's the sign to those out there in the charismatics that haven't wakened up yet. That's the sign that Christ is in them. That's the only presence they know. How would you like to have been brought up a complete orphan by a bunch of gorillas? They're pretty nice. Carson was brought up. by the grillers or baboons. Now you're a living witness that the life of your father's in you. But where's your father and where's your mammy? I got news for you. You standing there aren't your father. And when you're present there, your father's not present. Only life of your father's present. But you see, he came down.
Amen.
Looking at something different. Now look at it. At his presence. Now watch. At this point. At this point. Now watch it, please. Time swings into eternity. And since the part is lesser than the whole, and the whole encompasses the part, there is now not that which is relativistic. Relativistic, you know, related. That's a good word, relativistic. And that's a bad word to try to pronounce. That's what the world's full of, it's just relative. And though it is still in this sense, the relativistic, which we are in now, is all but gone because it's white throne now. Now let's read this in mind. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Perfect. That's what you call the perfect, tenth. Never mind. I got a mental block. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. Now it says right here, at the time of the presence, there it is right there, the kingdom of God is going to come to such a place where all power and authority is put under the feet of Jesus, preparatory to the placing of that same authority under God himself. The Lamb on the throne of Zion and the pillar fire above the throne. See? Start. Going on now. You say, Brother Van, don't believe it. Now you believe what you want. I believe this way. I believe this way. I believe this is the mystery under the thunders. Church order. Everybody missed church order. Put it in a little room. Ha! That's just what you're supposed to do to keep the gifts in order. You can go in that room and come up worshiping devils. No. Now, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now that's the time of this. He starts to reign. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. Now that's the scripture telling you the potential of what Christ did. But when he saith all things are under him, put under him, it is manifest that he is left out. An exception is made of him which did put all things under him. So he's talking to two people here. One putting everything under the person except himself being put under the person. So what's happening? Sit on my throne while I make your enemies my footstool.
Hallelujah.
The Son came off the mercy seat, took the book out of the hands of the Father, ripped the seals off the book, put it into his hands. The man, God, came off the throne, came down here. The Son climbed on the throne. Making perfect Melchizedek. All right. Now, he's here. Elohim.
Amen. Yeah.
Putting everything under the feet. Making everything in order. To get what? A rapture.
Amen, brother.
And we'll go up like just marvelous. Well, it's a reverse pyramid, really. There, that spirit in our midst will become incarnate to us. In the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Lily of the Valley, all of you lovely. All in all. Now, see, he's doing it. Now, and when all things shall be subdued. Now that word is subject. And that's the same root word in the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a klusma, with a shout. With the military order, the captain of the host of Israel, the supreme commander, the five-star general, God himself. has come down to put this army in array. You bet. And when we come back here, you better believe the devil is going to squeal uncle. And so is every filthy thing. And everybody that came against the truth of God and had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, Brother Baird, you sound vindictive. You talk to God about it. I'm indicted. I've been conscripted, actually. You do what you want. I don't have nice thoughts. I don't want nice thoughts. I don't want bad thoughts. I don't want filthy thoughts. I want his thoughts. Because they're good thoughts. We haven't inquired. See, that's going. Now, when you have subdued all this, when the church is in order, and it'll only be in true final order after the 1,000 years, after the white throne, and it's New Jerusalem. Why? Because the bride will be on the throne with him, the pillar of fire above the throne, and all those outside, every son of Adam that wasn't in the election unto bride, will bring their glory in. God has his own order. And brother, sister, when you see that scripture tell you how that bride rejoiced because of election, listen, we are ungrateful, mealy-mouthed, traitor turncoats to God. We haven't begun to praise him as we should. Oh, well, it's a doctrine. When is it going to get into our hearts, brother, sister? When it does, we'll lose all this little griping and miserable junking we have with each other and looking at each other with jaundiced eyes and God knows what, or trying to get each other's hair.
Amen.
God is my judge, brother, sister. I don't want to get in your way or your hair for 1 minute. I don't want you in mine. But I want to hold you in my heart's to love. I don't know how I haven't gone too far yet. I've gone a long way to what I've ever had faith in the congregation. I've never had faith in Christians just recently. I think if anybody's going to blow you out of the water, it's going to be a mealy mouth Jesus, man. Any man who's going to take the cleaners, he's the guy going to do it. I found most preachers, most people, like a cross between a backslidden Pentecostal preacher and used car salesman. I'm sorry, that's been my attitude. I don't mean to admit all that bad. I'm just letting you know what you got to get out of your hearts. I could say something here, but it sounds like I'm bragging, so I'm not going to say it. It'd be a true statement, though, made by the prophet and his wife, but it's all right. But then you got to keep showing more and more. This is the hour the token has come. This is for 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself. This is that spirit of wisdom and revelation that gets you ready to go in the rapture. Listen, my God, brother, sister, believe this. Don't let's be fools. Do we understand Ephesians? One guy got mad because he heard I preached 24 sermons. I think I preached 48. He didn't know where he'd get it from. I preached 48 more. This time better than ever. Listen, he says here, I cease not to give thanks, you make you mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in order that your eyes, your understanding will be enlightened, and you may know the hope of his calling, and then you know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance saints, and what you may also know personally now, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believe. According to the word and mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand, he placed it. He tells you right here, when that spirit comes, when he comes down, he is going to do every bit of that. He's working right now by his spirit to get you out of here. How many really believe it? Oh, God. I'm thanking you for the amen, but he wasn't sincere enough. You know it and I know it. We still need something to bring us. Get rid of the marbles, to get rid of the chunks of ice, whatever it is in our heart. That layer of unbelief. We enter into this is factual. The channels cannot be clear. People are arguing right now, I'm hated because I believe this. Well, let them hate. Brother Branham said in Daniel 70th week, quoting this, it had to come in the church. To even let the church know what hour it's living in. Let alone get us out of here. If you didn't know what time the plane was going to leave, you'd just miss it. We've got a schedule, brother, sister. The Lord descending, shout, voice, trumpet. We already got the shout. It doesn't matter when the voice comes. Because the same one with the shout brought the voice, brought the trumpet. I got news to you. The voice is here. Brother Branham identified. I was just the voice that he used. Now the man is gone. That's good he's gone. Now he must increase. Sure. All right. This is a personal confrontation we're looking at. The personal confrontation over Hebrews 3. I beg your pardon, 13:8. Over Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Over Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Over 1 Thessalonians 4. Over Revelation 10, 1 to 7. All that scripture, especially the bomb, hydrogen, call it what you want, the wind-up, Luke 17, 30. Who's going to believe it? It's a confrontation, brother, sister, exactly as it was over here in Matthew 4. You say, why, Brother Bale? Because Brother Branham said the gates of hell are against this revelation. And if the gates of hell are against it, who's carrying the gates? The devil is. No problem. Let's read Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command thee so he be made bread. And he answered, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See? Devil takes him up to a high city, holy city, sits him on the pinnacle. Going to make him a big shot now. Give these people a sign. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, and he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In your hands a bear that is to dash the foot against the throne. He said, written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Take my exceeding high mountain, show the king of the world, the glory of the bomb. All these things I give you, who has fallen and worship me. He said, Satan, get thee hence. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. Three times written. Turned down two temptations and found himself worshiping God. What would those two temptations be? They'd have to deal with the mind. Number one, whose mind will you listen to feed you? Number two, what do you get out of it? If you can turn those two things down, you can worship God. If you can't, you're shot. You follow this thing? You worship God the third time round. You got rid of the devil. When you can rid your mind of what you've been taught. Oh, I've got it right. My father taught it. My mother taught it. They were so-and-so. Oh, listen. I wouldn't give you two bits for what my father, my mother, or any of my relatives ever taught or ever thought. I am not interested. You say, Vail, you're just mean. I am a mean person. This would be mean, I mean. Why should I listen to my mother? She was a Protestant who repeated Catholic prayers. How do you think of that? I'm not against Catholic prayers. But she did. She was a reformer, what they call a reformist, Presbyterian. Yet her prayers are full of the Apostles' Creed. There's no such thing as the Apostles' Creed. She was a Protestant, but she believed the saints could do something for her. I don't know what shape she died in. I don't know what shape you're going to die in, I'm going to die in. Let me tell you one thing. God doesn't take fooling. You may think you and I can fool. The church said this. My friend said this. I read this book. I don't care what you read. I'm not interested this morning. Brother, sister, listen. This man either showed us that Satan supersedes God, or there is a God who lives up to his word.
Amen.
Because he came in the name of the Lord, and you show me where Satan can use that name and get an answer. The seven sons of Sceva said, we pray in the name of Jesus, whom Paul teaches. And the devils wouldn't even take that. They jumped on the seven sons and beat the tar them and said, and they said audibly, Jesus we know, and Paul know, but who are you? There's your answer. I'm trying to get you back to where we got to go today, brother, sister. I've got to strip my soul and my mind of everything but the word of God, what God said. And I'm going to tell you something. If we ever get to the place where we're talking, get to what I'm talking about, you will suddenly find that your life is a whole lot cleaner than you ever thought. And your ways are a whole lot cleaner and a whole lot clearer, because we have, through the perversity of Satan, not only fallen into a fall, he has actually turned every single thing that we have gotten from God as though it were corrupt and rotten, and it's not. If your body, brother, sister, wasn't of some worth, even though it is worth not very much when it comes to the stuff in it. If it wasn't worth a lot to God, how come he let you come here to make you a temple of the Holy Ghost? How come he's going to bring this body back again? See, we have become insensitive to the real values of our body and taken on a sensitivity which is not of God. It's a pity. Now, why do I talk this way? I saw William Branham as the man that I say is the closest to a millennial man I have ever seen. And I saw Daddy Bosworth, that I believe was pretty well in the same category. They really loved each other. And I saw in them men who knew that their bodies were temples of the Holy Ghost. And they weren't a couple of unclean, kooky, fruity guys that were constantly fighting as though all they were was muck and mire. You can carry humility to a place where it's not humility. It is a statement against God. Paul the Apostle told us we can exercise our senses unto godliness. And by suffering, we can come to a place of purification where we learn it doesn't pay to sin because you suffer in the flesh. It's much better to take the yoke upon us. And a yoke means someone's going to get rubbed. But it also means it gets hitched to God. You and I can hitch to God by His Word. Let me just say this morning, brother, sister, we are coming to this place that is surprising us and will surprise us continually until we find ourselves that army that God has designated so clearly in His Word. And if we're not that army, brother, sister, somebody else is going to be. Why do I preach as hard as I do? I'm not trying to convert anybody. I'm up here really making my confession, and you're nice enough to sit here while I yell, knowing that it goes in my ears and goes down and comes up again. And the more I talk about it, the more I realize I can't get away from it. You know, brother, sister, listen, the more you smoke cigarettes, the harder it is to break them. The more you drink liquor, the harder to break it. The more you eat chocolate bars, drink your coffee, your 7-Up, your Coca-Cola, your Dr. Pepper, I don't care what it is. The more you take into your system anything, the more you become dependent upon it, even though it's bad for you. And then you react terrible if that support is taken from you. Oh, God, what a mess the body's in. That's the truth I'm telling you. I'm controlling what a doctor told me. Now, let's reverse this for God. Let's get those channels. I'm slow this morning. I'm sorry. I'm going to quit now. Listen, let's get those channels where the Word, to dedicate the channels so the Word of God comes in. Until it comes into the place where it begins to flow out. See? And it does that by the constant repetition, by the constant talking. We are too much at talking our troubles. And in examining the corpse. It is much better to give ourselves an injection of life before we're literally corpses. And begin letting that life come through, because believe me, it can come through. And Brother Branham said there would be a bride, and she would have the Word, and she'd know what to say, but she'd also know, first of all, when to say it. And it would be, thus saith the Lord. He said it wouldn't be some like phenomenal thing, where, oh, maybe once in a while something came which reached it, but it'd be a naturalness. Why shouldn't it be a naturalness? If the Word of God is transfiguring us now, which it must be transfiguring us now, which means to literally make changes in the atom so that your structure is no longer the structure you think it is. It is progressively coming into a supernatural structure, which is called immortality, which God said Adam and Eve missed, and they could have had it right there. They stretched forth the hand. But He said, too late. Down the road. In the same fallen condition. In the same Garden of Eden condition, fallen. God come down so I can be touched. And He told us in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, brother, sister, we know these things. We are not ignorant. You say, what a small group to know them. My God, don't you understand the scripture? 8 at Noah's time. 3 at Lot's time. That's what the Bible said, and I'm not going to change the Bible. Well, you say, Brother Bill, millions now living in the dead. I say, you lie.
That's right, amen.
You've been caught in the lie already. Millions, billions will die. They will not live. So you're putting your whole trust in this? I am putting my whole trust in that. Say, boy, you're a kook. Thank you, I am a kook. I have met my Matthew 4 challenge and my Hebrews 13 and 8. And I am not pulled this way and that way. I may be weak in the flesh where the devil or someone can pounce on me, put me in such a mess, drugs and everything else and torture, where it would appear. I don't know what's going to happen to me as a person. But nothing can change the fact that if this isn't it, you tell me what is. You tell me where you're going. What are you going to do? What do you got to fall back on? I had a lot of religions to fall back on. Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Baptist, independent, more and more independent, like a hog on ice. Constant reading, constant studying. Oh, I read all of Barnes. Then a guy's got the nerve to send me a tape talking about Barnes. Talk about Darby. Go ahead. talk about Drummond. Talk about all. I've read the books. I've seen some of the greatest men ever lived. I never saw evidence till I saw that. Then people say, what evidence? Well, they saw Jesus, didn't they? And somebody said, when the deaf was healed and the blind and all spoke and the dumb heard, is not this the son of David? And they said, no, you got to be kidding. This is the other fella. This is not the one that comes in the power of God. This is the one that's coming in the power of the enemy. Why, by Beelzebub, he does all these things here. Haven't you got enough brains to see that? That's God. Why did God do it? Why does God ever send a prophet? Mouth, words. All that a prophet is really about is word. See? Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace showing us these things, Lord. But the prophet taught us, and Father, with your help, we'll go over and over and over and over these things until they become a running commentary in our minds and the liquid blood flowing through our hearts, O God. By your grace, we will do it. Not to shout and hurt anybody, not to throw off on anybody, Lord, because you know my heart that positively I can throw off on myself more than anybody else in this building. Because if anyone should know, I believe I should know. And how much do I know? Not very much. How much do I live, Lord? Not as much as I should by any stretch of the imagination. How much is 100% vital? It's only vital into this far that I believe it all lines up in your word. I believe this is the word of God, but until you dynamize it. Maybe I'm wrong here, Lord. Maybe I've got to do something about it myself. I don't know. Perhaps there are those things I must get out of the way. A little thing here, a little thing there. Blocking this flow, blocking that. It could well be, Lord, and I'm not going to deny it this morning because here in front of this desk, Lord, that you put aside this Bible here in front of me, Lord, and knowing there's a God in heaven, the pictures are testing, people testifying to. Father, I know that there's much more to be done in my life, Father. What should be done, O God, I pray for you constantly and want to see it changed until, Lord, it becomes, as Brother Branham said, the stature of a perfect man, just someone that under the control of the Holy Spirit. Not some mysterious person or some person that's mentally ill, Lord. We know that's not it. But Lord, it's a person who calmly, sanely chooses your word and stands by that word until you, Lord, fulfill it. And enduring those things that must come, such as turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, staying sweet, bearing and forbearing, gentle in disposition and tongue, Lord, not acid or bitter toward people, O God. But in all things, Lord, as brotherly kindness, standing there, waiting for the word. Waiting sometimes like an emergency, like Moses, knowing the army was right behind, the people fretting and screaming, ready to run him over and even kill him. And here is the Red Sea in front. The desert on the other side. The mountains on the other side. Where to go? Nowhere. He had to just stand there. And you taught Israel a lesson. Just stand there. But they never really learned it, Lord. God help us in this church that we learn to stand. Not like Israel. We're in the same hard place that Israel was in Moses. The Red Sea in front of us, Lord. The mountains on the east of us and the desert on the west of us. Right behind us, the army coming, Lord. Help us, Father, to look at you as we often just say, the pillar of fire is here. You're here. Help us to just stand still now. You're the captain of the host of Israel. You're the leader. You're the big general. You're the only general, Lord. Help us to stand still until you open up the Red Sea. And may we do it by not fussing and flustering and blustering, but may we do it in brotherly kindness. The holy virtue of respect, Lord, and honor preferring, bearing and forbearing, all these things, Father. You know that's my heart's cry. I prayed all my life, Lord. All my life. And I don't know that I intend to leave here without that being fulfilled. I don't intend to, Lord. If I was more responsible, then I want you to help me to know where it lies and get it moving, Lord. If it's just waiting for you more and more, then, Lord, maybe it's a combination. Whatever it is, oh God, we want to be in that army led by you, Lord. Just moving down that road, oh God, as never before. In the power, the love, and the glory of our Christ. Lord, let that shine through every single one of us, oh God. No axes to grind. Just wanting you, Lord, for ourselves and each other. And unto thee we give the honor and the praise, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Joe, I didn't leave you a lot of time. You're all the time.